Hi, this is Don Most. You remember me from Happy Days. I still got it. And you're listening to The Colly D Show.
Don Most, born in Brooklyn, New York on the 8th of August 1953, is an esteemed actor, singer and director, but more importantly, husband to Morgan and father to Madison and Mackenzie. His new single, Oh Baby Baby, is due to be released on the 26th of March on the Plateau record label. Hello, Don, and thank you so much for joining me today on The Colly D Show.
Oh, so nice to be with you, Colette. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. Oh Baby Baby is a classic 1965 hit single by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, written by Smokey Robinson and Pete Moore. The song is one of the Miracles' most covered tunes. The song is a little different from your jazz music. Why is the song so special to you?
It's a good question. The process that in which we picked the song, we meaning myself and the producer Tony Mantor, you're right, it's different. In the past, I've been concentrating more on the music that I've always loved. There's been the great jazz standards and swing and blues and the great American songbook. When I started working with Tony, he liked my last CD that I did, which had a big band format. And he said, I think we should try something with a more contemporary jazz setting, you know, not that big band sound, which is, you know, I mean, it's not like it's only from the 40s and 50s. I mean, people still use it, but he thought that contemporary jazz sound might be a nice change. And I liked the idea of trying it. And then as we started talking, we also thought the idea of introducing some songs from the 60s and 70s might be good too, because I was a teenager and young adult in the 60s and 70s, and that's the music that I also loved. So we said, yeah, it might be nice to try to integrate some of those songs. And waiting for somebody somewhere at a restaurant, I can't remember, and over the music system they had on, I heard Smokey's version of Ooh Baby Baby, and I was like, oh man, what a great song. I hadn't heard it in a while, and it was perfect timing, and I said, this might be really interesting to do. And I played it for Tony, and he'll always love the song, and so we decided to do it and came up with a really nice, you know, with one of his musicians that he works with on the arrangements, an approach to it that was a little different. And then as I got into the studio and started working with the musicians, it took on a life of its own, and I'm really happy with the way it came out. It's really nice.
It's an absolutely beautiful song, and you just sing it so well, and I think it's certainly attuned to your voice because of the jazz.
It has a little bit of the original R&B feel, but mixed in with a little bit of jazz. So it's an interesting mix. So who knows, you know, maybe it'll lead to me doing more of that style. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, of course. And let's go back to the early days. At a very young age, you wanted to be an entertainer and you saw the Jolson story. What was it about the film that captured your imagination?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that. I was 9 years old when I saw the movie The Jolson Story, which was a, you know, biopic of great Al Jolson, who was considered the greatest entertainer in the world at the time when he was famous in the 20s and 30s. He actually did the original Jazz Singer, the first talking picture. He starred in that. But when I saw the movie about his life, like I said, I was nine, and I just loved it, and it had a much bigger impact than almost anything I had seen. And it was something about, you know, the music and Jolson's talent, and even though it was played by Larry Parks, it was Jolson singing.
Yes.
And Parks did a great job of bringing Jolson to life. I was just really captured by the story, but mainly his talent and that music. And it led me to start researching and finding out more of that kind of music, even though I was pretty young.
Yeah.
I started listening to a radio station in New York where I grew up. Every night, it was a guy called William B. Williams, and he would play all of the great standards and all those great classic singers, and Sinatra and Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald, and doing all the great jazz standards and ballads, whatever.
Yeah,
I got an education listening to him on that radio show, and I developed a huge love for that music.
Oh, wonderful. And did it influence you to become a singer and an actor at that time?
Yeah, it's funny because it influenced me in the beginning mainly to pursue singing.
Yes.
And that's what I would call my first love. I enjoyed acting, you know, when I did it in plays at school or here and there, but it was singing at that age. At the age of 13, my school in Manhattan, take the subway from Brooklyn into Manhattan, and it was a school where they taught, it was mainly for young teenagers and kids singing and acting and dancing.
Yes.
I wasn't really interested in dancing, but they made me, you know.
Yeah.
But it was the singing that I really wanted to pursue. And then, as a matter of fact, I got picked from that school to be part of a troupe, a nightclub revue comprised of seven teenagers, ages 14 to 16, to be in this nightclub act.
Yeah.
And I performed in it during the summer that I was turning 15 years old, up in the hotels that were in the Catskill Mountains, the famous resort area upstate New York. So I spent that summer singing in the nightclubs, and I loved it. So I was so excited. But then the funny thing is, after that summer, after discussions with, I don't know, I decided after talking to my father, you know, he wasn't pushing me at all. I was the one who really wanted to
yes.
do it, but he was supportive. It was his suggestion that I maybe take a serious acting class.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, okay. You know, I was starting to really get into film, cinema at that point, and watching some great movies. And so I liked the idea, and I got into this really good acting workshop, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And that's when I put the music aside, and I just shifted my focus towards acting.
Yeah.
And I knew one day the music would come back in some way. I don't know why I waited this long. Better late than never.
Yeah. Because I was researching the Borscht Belt in the New York Catskills Mountains between the 50s and the 70s, and it was an amazing vacation destination. The resort closed in 1986, but the comedians who came out of Borscht Belt was amazing. I've just been watching it a little bit earlier. Absolutely fantastic. Brilliant place.
You were able to find this online or something? You found some info on it?
Found all about the Borscht Belt. The Concord Resort Hotel closed in 1998. And it tells you all about Joan Rivers was there. Jerry Lewis was there.
The stars were performing up there in the 50s. Jerry Lewis, as you mentioned. And probably Dean Martin. And a lot of the big comics, you're right.
Yeah,
a lot of them. Almost all of those, the ones that became famous that we know of in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they performed in the Borscht Belt.
Yeah.
And some singers too, probably. Yeah, it has quite a legacy and history. That was the one hotel I didn't get to perform at. Concord was the big one. There were probably 30 other ones, you know.
Yeah.
And I was able to perform at all of them, but I never got to play the Concord. That was a little bit of a disappointing thing. But, you know, now I'm doing it in all kinds of other places, so that's all right.
Yeah. Your first TV screen credit came in the TV show Emergency.
It was actually Room 222 was right before Emergency.
Yeah.
They were close together. But, yes, Emergency was the second one. When I came out to L.A. when I was 20 years old, I'd been doing a lot of commercials in New York.
Yes.
I did about 40 commercials, and a lot of them were big national commercials. But my first real TV job, first two, was Room 222 and then Emergency. And I was more interested in drama.
Yes.
And not comedy. In Emergency, I played a guy who became paralyzed in a car accident. Then I did a police story, was the name of a show, where I played a psychopath, a mad bomber.
Yeah.
So I was really into doing drama.
Yeah.
But just so happened, you know, then when I landed Happy Days and it was a comedy, and that's when I became known for that. I was a big Jack Nicholson fan back then.
Wow.
And so I wanted to do films like he was doing.
Yeah, something similar. Because the character Ralph was not initially there. Because of your charisma and natural comedic timing, they reworked the part and transformed Ralph Malph into the beloved class comedian. So you actually went for the role of Potsy. But I think what you did in the role of Ralph was fantastic, and your comedy timing, as they say, was amazing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I did originally audition for Potsy, but they wanted Anson and Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Anson Williams had originally done Potsy and Richie, and it did sell. 2 years prior, it didn't make it onto the air.
Right.
But then the 50s became popular with American Graffiti coming out and Grease on Broadway.
Yeah.
So then they decided, oh, we should do this show. The network told Gary Marshall that they were concerned Ron and Anson would be too old now.
Yeah.
And Gary said, no, he had to screen test Ron and Anson, even though they had already done it, along with about seven other hopeful actors.
Yeah.
I was one of them auditioning for Potsy. So they called my agent and said, no, they're going to go with Anson Williams again. But they liked Donnie's at the time screen test so much, they want to create a role for him. And there was a small part in the pilot script.
Yes.
And they said, well, we'll make that into a regular role.
Yeah.
And so that's how that happened.
Do you have any fond memories of your time in Happy Days?
Oh, yeah. It was an incredible experience.
Yeah.
You know, the greatest thing about it was the people that I got to work with.
Yes. Yeah.
The cast was fantastic.
Yeah.
Not only professionally, but personally, we got along like family, and we really did. And then we had wonderful people, producer, directors, like Gary Marshall the creator of the show and the executive producer and a mentor to us.
Yeah.
And our director, Jerry Paris, who was fantastic.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I feel very grateful that I got to have that at that age and learn so much and grow with great people around me.
The directors let cast be very creative. So you put your own individual stamp on each character. And that's when all your catchphrases came in with the Fonz, hey, and then yours was, I still got it, which is a great catchphrase in itself.
Yeah, that was in the script. And I actually put it in because our director, Jerry Paris, used to say that. He was much more like Ralph than I was.
Yeah.
I wasn't really the guy that was always trying to be funny. You know, I was a good audience for the other people who liked to do that.
Yeah.
But I was that kind of a guy. But Jerry was like that. He loved to crack everybody up. And when he could get a particularly good reaction, he would say, I still got it, like that. So I decided one day, I didn't tell anybody. We were shooting in front of an audience. And I told Ron, I said, be prepared. I'm going to do something that's not in the script.
Yes.
And right about here. So he said, okay, I'll be ready for it. And then I did the line and everyone loved it. And then they started writing it in more and more.
And something beautiful happened. You met your lovely wife on the set of Happy Days and you married actress Morgan Hart in 1982. And you have two beautiful children from that. Lovely.
Yes, babe. Yeah, thank God I met Morgan. It turned out to be the last season that I did on Happy Days because I wound up doing 7 of the 11 seasons. After the 7th, my contract was up and for different reasons, I decided it was time to move on.
Yeah.
Luckily, Morgan was cast as in a guest role in that last season. So we hit it off right away and started dating. And 2 years later, got married. And now we've been married 39 years.
Absolutely amazing.
I have two wonderful daughters.
Yes.
So thank God. That was another reason I'm so thankful for Happy Days. The biggest one.
Yeah, of course. And in 1976, you chopped the Billboard charts with All Roads Lead Back to You. And that's a really nice track. I listened to that a little bit earlier.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was much more of a pop.
Yeah, it was.
You know, pop kind of thing, which I wasn't looking to do rock kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when I had the opportunity to be signed to a label, United Artists, they would let me do the music that I loved.
Yeah.
Because in the 70s, 76, you know, the Great American Songbook and those jazz standards were not considered commercial at all.
Of course.
It was upon as like my parents' or grandparents' music. So I had to do something a little bit more of in the pop vein. And I figured, okay, you know, let's try it.
Yeah.
Give me an opportunity to get in the recording studio and see what happens. And some of the stuff came out pretty good. It's not my favorite. I'm much more, you know, I have much more of an affinity. If you listen to my, not only Ooh Baby Baby, but the CD before, that was 3 years ago, mostly swinging.
Yeah.
And you know, it's with a big band and arrangements and all the wonderful songs from that era of the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Yeah. And it cooks, you know. Yeah. And so I love, that's more my wheelhouse. And what I did with, you know, Ooh Baby Baby, because it's kind of a nice blend of jazz and R&B.
Yeah.
So, but 76, it was another great experience that I learned a lot being in that studio. Wonderful musicians on those tracks, too.
Yeah, of course. And then you went into TV and you've got some incredible film credits. Crazy Mama, The Yankees, The Great Buck Howard, starring John Malkovich. And you were in Glee, Star Trek, and you played Quarren.
Yeah, it was Dr. Kaden, I think it was. I was the villain.
The villain. A
two-part Star Trek Voyager, And Glee, I had a nice recurring role as the father of one of the lead characters, Emma, played by Jake Baines. And Yeah, and then a lot of some Buck Howard, that was fun to do with, to work with John Malkovich.
Yeah.
I worked with Ron Howard in one of his movies, MTV. Yes. So that was a great joy to work with Ron again on a big film. Recently, I've done some really interesting, you know, it was a little difficult after Happy Days breaking away from Ralph and that kind of comedy. So it took a while to keep, but I kept plugging away and, you know, opening up the door a little bit further and further. And I think because I'm older, it's getting easier because obviously I can't play a teenager in high school or college anymore. You know, I'm getting more roles offered to me in different kinds of genre and content.
Yeah.
So there's a film called Lost Heart that is out on Amazon Prime now that just came out a few months ago. It's a really lovely film, a comedy drama. I play a small town pastor in it.
Yeah.
And another film called Man's Best Friend, very powerful dramatic piece where I play a defense attorney representing a wounded vet. Yeah. And that's on Amazon Prime, too.
Yeah.
So I'm loving the fact that I'm starting to get a wider variety of roles that are coming my way.
Yeah, of course.
Film and TV.
And then what pivotal moment after working in the front of the camera, you realised that you had a lifelong ambition to direct? Because you didn't at first, did you, I don't think?
You know, it happened for me as a result of, there was a period when I was getting frustrated that I wasn't getting the opportunities. It was even hard for me to get the auditions for the movies that I wanted to be up for and the kinds of roles. So somewhere in the early 90s, I think it was, I had an opportunity to direct a play at a small theater in Los Angeles. And I said, you know, I knew I'd want to direct at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe not this soon, but let's try it. So I directed this play, a play that I was familiar with, and it turned out great. I had a great response in reviews and all that. So I did more. I did several more plays and one-act plays. And then I knew I'd like to now take that to film.
Yeah.
Because I always was into photography and into the visual and the composition. So I thought doing film I wanted to try as well.
Yeah.
And I found a script that I really liked and it could be done low budget without sacrificing because it was the way the structure of the film, where it took place, the locations, you could do it on a low budget. I met a producer that had experience that was really liked the script too. We were lucky, we were able to raise money from it was friends, family, that kind of thing.
Of course, yes.
And I got to make The Last Best Sunday is the name of it. 1999 I made that.
And I know that it premiered at the Seattle International Film Festival and you won the best feature at the Telluride Indie Fest. Congratulations.
Yeah. So that was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And people can see that. It's on, well, I don't know. There's a platform called Tubi.
Yeah.
T-U-B-I here. I don't know if you have that there, but it's showing there. And it's going to be expanding to some other places.
Yeah.
And then the next film I directed is on Amazon Prime right now called Moolah.
Yeah.
A really fun project, comedy that has some real heart to it and a little bit of drama, but more of a comedy. Great cast.
Yeah,
people could check that out on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
You'll recognize most of the actors in it.
Yes.
They're pretty well known.
Because you won the Outstanding Achievement in Directing Award and premiered at the Newport Beach Film Festival in 2007.
Yeah, I was so proud of that, winning that award for directing at that festival. It meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And we had a great reaction when it played at one of the screenings at the festival. It had a fabulous reaction. So that was a pretty, it was a very meaningful weekend. I remember getting that award and the reaction. And this project I developed from scratch with the executive producer. We, from real events that had happened, we developed the story together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I brought in a writer and worked with him very close to write the script. So it was even more taking someone else's script and directing it. This was something that I kind of created from the very beginning.
Yes.
It meant a lot.
Yeah. And in 2011, you directed your first family film, Harley's Hill, which premiered on Showtime, Stars, and Encore.
That was a great experience, too. It was tough. That was a tough one because it was a family film, as you mentioned, and I was working. My lead character was a girl that was 12 years old, so I only had her for so many hours a day because there's very strict regulations on how much time they're allowed to work. So it's tough when you, and it was a very low budget, very low budget. And then her the other character, her younger brother, was only 8 years old. So I had him for even less time.
Yeah.
There were a lot of animals involved.
Oh, gosh.
Which you would say, I know. Children, animals. Or, that's the, you know, that's the toughest thing.
Yeah.
And especially on a low budget. And I had lots of animals, you know, equestrian stuff, cattle, and not just dogs and cats, you know, horses and cattle. And, and the girl had to, you know, do jumping. And she was supposed to be a great rider.
Yeah.
And then find out the first day of shooting, she wasn't a great
rider. Oh, gosh, no.
So then I had that. I think I lost 20 pounds during the shooting of that film.
Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy.
Gosh.
But it came, well, thank God the movie came out. It's really a sweet film. It's really nice.
Oh, wonderful. And as you were talking a little bit earlier, since 2017, you've been busy performing Sings and Swings in the USA, and your show debuted in Los Angeles and the Catalina's Jazz Club in Hollywood, and also Vitello's Jazz Club in studio to great acclaim. I love the Rat Pack. I love that era. You showcase covers from Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole. And didn't you go to see Bobby Darin live?
Yes.
Yeah. What was that like?
Oh, unbelievable. You know, I loved all Sinatra and Dino and Nat and all those great singers. I loved them. But I was a huge Bobby Darin fan.
Yeah.
And I got to see him at the Copacabana nightclub in New York City when I was 18.
Yeah.
Twice that year. He was there twice, and I saw him both times. And then a third time out at an outdoor concert in Central Park in New York. Bobby could do that kind of music as good as just about any of them. He could swing with the best of them.
Yeah.
A lot of people know him more for his early rock and roll stuff, but that's not what he was about. That was a means to an end. He was really, he could sing jazz and blues and swing and folk, gospel, just about anything.
Yeah.
And I saw him with that big band at the Copa. It was magic. So, and I always close my shows with Mac the Knife.
Oh, I love it.
People could go and see, go on YouTube and put in Donnie Most Full Sail, you know, like a Full Sail, F-U-L-L-S-A-I-L, because that was the venue that I did a concert.
Okay.
And so if they put Donnie Most Full Sail, there's some video up there, little snippets from the show, and I'm performing with the Orlando Jazz Orchestra, so it's a great big band, and you'll see me do some Mac the Knife in it as the ending. It was cooking. It was really cooking.
Yeah.
So people should check that out.
I actually watched it last night, and the reviews that you got, the HuffPost said, "What a singing voice. Who knew? Move over Michael Bublé." And then the Theatre Pizzazz said, "Easeful and elegant. The cabaret scenes most nailed it to the roof." And then the Jersey Jazz said, "The man can sing and swing." And I loved that album. I've listened to it 2 days on the run. And you know what I got from it? The actual orchestra, the Orlando Jazz Orchestra, is out of this world. The sound from that is fantastic. Your voice is perfectly matched. And I've just been listening to it for the past couple of days. I love it. Yeah.
You know, are you talking about the video or the CD?
Both.
Oh,
I've been watching both. Yeah, the CD too. Yeah.
Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. That, I love hearing that. I'm so happy. Thank you for sharing that with me. I appreciate that more than you know.
Yeah, because I've been watching All Things All About You on YouTube. I downloaded your album. I've been listening to that because I love that era to me. But, you know, the quality of the production of the jazz band, it's fantastic. And your voice is perfectly with it. And also, I listened to it, to the Christmas album, Swinging Down the Chimney Tonight. Wow! And you know what my favourite one is?
Becky Morton, and we did Santa Baby.
That's the one. Yeah, I absolutely love it. Fantastic. Brilliant.
I know, it was a real... When Willie Murillo, who produced that CD and played trumpet on it, because he's an amazing musician... And he did all the arrangements.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to him about him a lot. We worked on him, but he wrote him.
Yeah.
And that's his wife, Becky, who's a wonderful singer.
Yeah.
And he said, when we were thinking about what Christmas songs to do, and he said, he brought up, how about doing Santa Baby as a duet?
Yeah.
And I said, wow, I've never... And he said, Becky could sing, and I knew how good she was.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, I think that's a cool idea. And it came out really, really... It's different, but really good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic album. But your single, releasing on the 26th of March, Ooh Baby Baby, can you pre-order it now?
It's on iTunes and Amazon, I believe.
It is.
People can get it. Yeah, Ooh Baby Baby. and on the label is Plateau Music.
It is.
And I can't wait to, you know, get the feedback and hear the reaction from the general public, if you will. Tony and I, Mantor and I, are talking about, we'd love to do a tour in the UK. By getting this out there and maybe another single, maybe it'll help pave the way to do a tour.
You're on social media, and it's Don Most Musician, isn't it, on Facebook? And you've got a website, www.donimost.com, and Twitter at @most_don. So I've been checking you out in the last day or so, so you might find something from the Collie D Show on there.
Good. I'm on Facebook under Don Most, and then, as you said, Twitter. Yeah. And Instagram, Don Most One.
I would just like to say it's been an absolute honour and a pleasure to speak to you today. And it's my birthday today.
Oh, Colette, happy birthday. How nice that we get to do this on your birthday.
Thank you so much.
I love hearing that. I thank you very much. And I hope to talk to you. If we get to tour, we'll get to meet in person.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much indeed. It's been the best birthday present I've ever had. Thank you.
Oh, it's lovely speaking with you. You're really a delight to talk with.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Don Most. You might remember me as Ralph from Happy Days. And this is my new single, originally done by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. This is Ooh, Baby, Baby.
Mistakes too. I'm crying.